now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. 2018 will be remembered as a good one for the U.S. labor market. Last year, the U.S. economy added more than 2.6 million net new jobs, rendering it the third best year for job growth since the recession of a decade ago. Last year also represented the third finest year since the turn of the century. The best years for job creation since the turn of the century were 2014 and 2015. In percentage terms, the total number of jobs expanded by 1.8% last year. While that was slower than the peak growth years of 2014 and 2015, it represented meaningful acceleration relative to 2017. The nation ended last year with a 3.9% unemployment rate. As indicated by writer Josh Sumbrun, that represented the lowest year-end reading since December of 2000. However, since July of last year, unemployment has climbed from 5.1% to 5.8% for those without a high school diploma. For those with a college degree, unemployment fell to just 2.1%. Average hourly earnings were up 3.2% last year. That's the best number to close a year in more than a decade. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. If one analyzes a city's economic prospects, one might think that factors such as principal industries, key institutions, and educational attainment would loom large in the analysis. While these factors are important, the best indicators of a city's future growth prospects may be size and population density. A recent analysis supplied by the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City determined that initial population has become a more significant determinant of employment and population growth in recent years than it was relative to prior decades. From 2000 to 2017, a majority of American communities with fewer than 25,000 residents experienced declining population and employment. By contrast, nearly all metropolitan areas with more than 500,000 residents witnessed their populations rise. As indicated by writer Paul Kiernan, larger population centers frequently offer a wider range of industries, more educational institutions, and attractive amenities like restaurants and professional sports teams. This helps attract a disproportionate share of skilled workers to larger communities. Small communities that are losing population often end up with more infrastructure than they can afford to maintain. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. The Eurozone encompasses 19 member nations that use the euro as their primary currency. While much attention has been given to the Eurozone's weak economic performance for much of its history and its high rates of unemployment this past November, the Eurozone's unemployment rate fell to its lowest rate in more than a decade. But even after 5 years of economic growth, large disparities in economic performance across the currency zone remain. Joblessness in Germany stands at a bit more than 3%, but is nearly 15% in Spain and nearly 19% in Greece. As indicated by writer Paul Hannon, economists estimate that Eurozone economic growth fell to 1.9% last year from 2017's 2.4% performance. But even that more modest rate has been enough to allow for ongoing job creation. The European Union's statistical agency indicates that the region's jobless rate fell to 7.9% this past November, the lowest level since October of 2008, when the global financial crisis was in its early stages. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. It is often said that demographics are destiny. On this basis, Japan should be an economic basket case, given its aging population and rock-bottom birth rate. But as indicated by writer Greg Ipp, in recent years, Japan has been defying destiny. True, since 2012, its working-age population, defined as those between the ages of 15 and 64, has shrunk by 4.7 million. But the number of people working has expanded by 4.4 million, which has represented the critical ingredient in what is now Japan's second-longest economic expansion since World War II. The proportion of the population in the labor force, meaning the fraction that is working or is actively looking for work, has risen sharply since 2012, more than in any other major advanced economy. How is this happening? Japan has implemented policies to encourage older workers to remain in the workforce. This has helped keep many Japanese men on the job well into their 70s. There have also been efforts to increase the number of women and foreigners in the workforce. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Aniban Basu. This is Aniban Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. One of the sources of ongoing economic strength in America is the growing labor force participation of millennial women. As indicated by Bloomberg, the share of 25 to 34-year-old women who are employed or looking for work has staged a sharp turnaround since late 2015. Since December of 2015, this group of women has accounted for 86% of growth in the workforce of prime working-age women, defined as women ages 25 to 54. They are also responsible for nearly half of the gains in the overall prime-age labor pool, which includes men, of course. That's terrific news for the U.S. economy, as this injection of young women into the workforce provides the economy with more capacity to produce and more people with income to spend. But this also creates a puzzling contrast with young men, a group that has generated a comparatively weak labor market rebound. The labor force participation rate for young men has failed to recover to pre-recession levels. One reason for this? Women are now more competitive in the labor market. For instance, millennial women are more likely to possess a college degree than their male peers. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Aniban Basu.